Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, and welcome to Speak Up for Tuesday, January 2nd. This is our first live and in-person program of 2024. So welcome to the new year. My name is Magnus Tewald. I'm your host for the next hour. This is the first day the station's been open since the holidays. You may or may not know that the building we're located in, the Student Union building at Simon Fraser University, was closed and locked up for the holidays. So we've been closed since December 22nd, and we have a way of updating the programming remotely when we're not physically present here. But we haven't been able to be here in the studio doing live programs. But it's good to be back. Coming up in about an hour will be Democracy Now!, their first new program of 2024. Yesterday was a, I guess it was a new program, but it wasn't a live program because of the holiday. I'm sure they're going to have lots of interesting stuff to talk about. Katie will be here at 12 noon for Raccoon City, and a great selection of music and lots more great programming is coming up today on CJSF 90.1 FM. Because of the holiday, today's program is a bit of a revisiting of some great interviews and features we've done in the past. And tomorrow, though, on Intravenous at 10 a.m., Robin Erickson will be here with her co-hosts and bring you a whole bunch of new content. We're ready to we're really ready and eager to get rock and rolling for 2024 and bring you a lot of great programming. And we're happy you're here listening to us this morning and look forward to spending 2024 with you on the radio. So thanks for being here. For today's program, we're going to revisit a really great series. You may have heard this before, maybe not, produced by Chris Spangenberg about traditional Chinese medicine. It's a five-part series examining traditional Chinese medicine and how it fits into the modern world and modern healthcare. A number of years ago, the BC government and the Ministry of Health set up the sort of infrastructure to bring traditional Chinese medicine into the healthcare system alongside Western medicine, so that the practices of traditional Chinese medicine that practitioners could be officially trained and certified, so that when someone was looking to seek that kind of care, they could find qualified and validated practitioners. Of course, for many of us, we're very familiar with the Western medicine, and what it does. If not from if not from the experience of being in the hospital or being at the doctor, at least to the entertainment industry and the many hospital shows and doctor shows that are out there. But then, not so much attention gets shone on traditional Chinese medicine, and that was Chris's goal with this series. And it's really interesting. So we have two parts today. We're going to start off with an interview with Raymond Fan, and then we're going to move on to a interview with Darcy Carroll. Both of them are TCM practitioners. And then we're going to finish the program off with a profile of a Japanese artist by Ayu Sakamoto. So that's all coming up on the show today. Here is Chris Spangenberg and Raymond Fan.
Hello, my name is Chris Spangenberg, and you are listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver Burnaby Mountain. Today I'm introducing the start of a new 8-episode series of topical interviews. This series is produced for CGSF 90.1 FM's Making Time for Radio project. The subject of the series is traditional Chinese medicine, also abbreviated as TCM, and the TCM community here in Vancouver. In the course of these interviews, I examine the local culture and practice of TCM, as well as inquire into its philosophy and difference from Western medicinal practices. Traditional Chinese medicine comprises an ancient body of knowledge and includes herbal medicine, acupuncture, cupping, and moxibustion as treatments to a wide variety of maladies and illnesses. TCM is a holistic medicine and derives its efficacy from an integrated understanding of health and harmony. While practiced for thousands of years in China, acupuncture, a modality of traditional Chinese medicine, was only legalized in BC in 1996. Yet years before that, Chinese medicine was practiced within the local Asian communities and by Caucasian practitioners in an unregulated milieu. Now, traditional Chinese medicine has flourished in Vancouver. Acupuncture clinics abound in our neighborhoods, and the amount of herbal stores in Chinatown and Richmond attest to its cultural significance and potency. So far, there has been little to no historic or social documentation of the local Vancouver TCM community in practice. As there is, indeed, a flourishing and colorful local TCM community, the absence of informative stories in the media or archival history only further breeds ignorance of traditional Chinese medicine. In this project, I document the experiences of a few practitioners to promote the local TCM community and medicine. Please note that neither I nor the interviewees are bashing Western medicine. In certain instances, we discuss the differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine, but the illustration is purely functional, not ideological. Starting today, every week for the next 8 weeks, a new interview with a TCM practitioner or figure will air in this station. I'll be talking to a diverse group of people, each with their own unique background and coming from a different place within the local traditional Chinese medicine community. I speak with Darcy Carroll, practitioner and proprietor of Polk Community Acupuncture Clinic on Broadway. I also speak with Avon Evan, a traditional Chinese medicine translator and clinic owner in Port Moody, as well as John Stan, a practitioner and founder of the TCM distribution company Eastern Currents here in Vancouver. Furthermore, I talked to Dr. Lionel Ho from the College of Traditional Chinese Medicine on Broadway, Bill Hardman, ex-president of the ATCMA and various other TCM institutions, and Les Moncrief, who pioneered acupuncture in a detox setting. This selection is in no particular order, but these interviews will air over the following weeks. Stay tuned. In this first interview, I'm talking with Raymond Fan, a Chinese medicine herbalist and ex-business owner originally from Hong Kong. We discuss the herbal trade and practice, the herbal store he used to run, and the Taoist philosophy which governs his life. My name is Chris Spangenberg, and you're listening to an interview between me and Raymond Fan on CGSF 90.1 FM. So Raymond, tell me a little about yourself and your history.
When I was 12 years old, I came to Hong Kong from mainland China, and by that time, to get a living, I was lucky enough to be attached to a herbal master as an apprentice. And during my stay with him, then I was educated and influenced by his professional. And by that time, I developed my keen interest in Chinese herbal medicine.
Where were you originally from?
Southern China. I'm living in the high mountains, and I was by that time relatively underprivileged. That is why I'm happy to go to Hong Kong in order to enrich my observation and knowledge.
How long have you been practicing as a Chinese herbalist?
As I've just mentioned, that when I was 12 years old, I was attached to a herbal master, and without interruption, I continued to do Chinese herbals until my master considered me fully qualified. And put in a simple words, I've been practicing it for more than 50 years.
What benefits do you see in Chinese medicine?
The benefit is my health is in good shape, and I know a lot of herbal knowledge and how to lead a healthy and decent life.
When you were younger, was traditional Chinese medicine a common part of your community? Which is to say, was it normal for families to rely on traditional Chinese medicine for good health?
Oh yeah, when I was younger, you know, TCM is a common part of our community. And after maybe introductions of the Western medicine in Hong Kong, and there is some sudden influx, you know, and some people go for Western drugs, and later then they also shift to Chinese medicines.
How long have you been running Boon Chow Tong Herbal Store?
Oh, I see. As far as I know, it's more than 10 years.
When did you start Boon Chow Tong Herbal Store?
It's about 2007, I guess. 2007, 2006, you know.
What made you want to start your own business?
I'm convinced that Chinese medicine is good for well-being and good for health for people. And in order to share with my herbal knowledge, that I feel it necessary to open a Chinese herbal store. And hopefully, you know, many of the people get to know the string of our Chinese herbals. You know.
Were there any difficulties you encountered in establishing your business in Vancouver?
Yes, there are some difficulties. First of all is the finance, you know. We have a tight budgeting, you know. Secondly, the government policy, you know, we have to overcome of the, you know, the difficulties. For example, you know, to establish a herbal store, one of our partners to get a license. Otherwise, you know, we are not permitted to get the license, you know.
What are the regulations for selling medicinal herbs in Canada?
The general regulation is to make sure the imported herbs are chemical-free. That means no insecticides, excess application of insecticides, and are all in good shape. And some of the indigenous species are not supposed to be imported.
Are the regulations in Canada stricter than in Hong Kong?
A little bit stricter, but there are some flexibilities depending on the special request, you know.
You first started your business in Chinatown. Could you tell me a little more about the history of your business?
Oh, yeah. When I settled in Canada 22 years ago, I'm working for a Chinese herbal store for 5 years, and then I feel that the market is improving a lot. You know, there are many new potential customers. That's why I'm determined to establish a store of my own in Chinatown. And because the moving populations, later we determined to move to Richmond in order to explore potential patients.
What is different about practicing Chinese herbal medicine in Hong Kong and in Vancouver?
There are no significant difference. The thing is, you know, the Hong Kong herbal store are more comprehensive and more authority, but in Vancouver, we only import some of the selected common items. But the nature and the quality are more or less the same.
Where do you get the majority of your herbs from?
In order to make sure our quality of herbs are up to universal standard, we are inclined to get it from Hong Kong, because in Hong Kong, the administration is up to a universal standard.
Are there any other countries from which you import your herbs from?
Some of the subsidiary herbals are from mainland China, not elsewhere, only mainland China.
How difficult is it to import herbs from China and Hong Kong to Vancouver?
There is no major difficulties. The thing is, we have to shoulder extra transportation costs and interpretations of herbs to be given to the custom officer because of difference of culture background. But they are very open-minded to accept our detailed explanation.
Can you tell me a little more about what kind of herbs you have in store?
Oh, we have carried more than 300 to 400 items of herbs, you know. The herbs are classified into the several categories, you know. For example, it's the leaves, the flowers, the seed, and some herbs of mineral stone, some of insect, you know. This is the general information that I can tell you.
What is the quality of the herbs in the herbal stores and yours?
Oh, the quality are a high-end one. Why? Because we don't want to have the poor quality herbs because if you apply the poor quality herbs, the treatment and the duration of treatment will be lengthened. That means extra cost for the patient is not fair.
What are some common herbs used in Chinese herbal medicine?
The common herbs are normally for common cold, and particularly the common health problem is the sinus in Vancouver. And also because of the raining seasons, some of the people are suffering from rheumatism, you know, then we normally apply rheumatism herbs, you know. All these herbs are common use in our store, you know.
What are the regulations for the import of herbs?
The regulations, as long as it is in good condition, no fermentations and no insect and not endangered species and no poison and no whatever additional preservative added, then this can be imported.
Is there a significant difference in cost between the TCM herbs sold in Hong Kong and in Vancouver?
Relatively, you know, in Vancouver, the cost of herbs as compared with Hong Kong is more or less the same. Why? Some people ask me why. Just because in Hong Kong, the store, you know, suffering from high rental. That means to say, in order to have a business to meet the ends meet, that means the price for the herbs has to be shifted to the consumers, you know. But in Vancouver, relatively, the rental is reasonable. That means the cost can be more reasonable.
What is the philosophy behind Chinese herbal medicine?
Oh, as far as I know, the philosophy of Chinese herbals is focusing on a holistic treatment, apart from the treatment of the symptoms. And the philosophy of herbal medicines, as far as I know, is derived from the Taoism, because we focus on balance, you know, everything balance. For example, we very focus on, you know, a balance between our physical condition and our mental condition. And we also very focus on the balance between our body temperature in relation to the outside world, you know. And we also focus on the balance between work and rest. And upset of this balance will lead to health problems. And that means to say, you know, we're very focused on balance. And also, Chinese herb also very focused on balance between yin and yang, you know, yang and yin, you know. And maybe it is a jargon, you know. Yang means the function of the organs. The yin is a substance of the organs, you know. That means to say, if the body in good shape means then they should have perfect harmony. Some people right now, the modern people, have so many anxiety and some mental problems. That's because the mental activities has been abused, you know, too much, and that will lead to the physical problems, you know.
What is your personal philosophy behind good health?
To be honest, is at least 60% belong to the philosophy of Taoism and 40%. Derived from Confucianism and Buddhism, you know, because I'm quite Chinese-orientated, you know.
How does Chinese herbal medicine work to treat the body?
The Chinese herbs really treat the bodies. Why? It focuses on the root cause other than the symptoms. That means to say we focus on the holistic healing, you know. And by holistic meanings, we focus on prevention is better than cure. We also very focus on healthy lifestyle as well. You know.
In your opinion, what are the main factors in our society that cause illnesses?
As far as I know, in this modern society, you know, the common health problem is caused by one word, is pollution. From my understanding, pollution consists of different pollutions. The first of all is the food pollution, you know. Secondly is the air pollution. The third is the water pollution. The fourth is sound pollution. And finally is the spirit pollution. Just these five pollutions that really hurt our health, you know. And if you can get rid of this pollution, then I'm sure that you are absolutely disease-free.
How well established is Chinese medicine in Vancouver as a field and culture?
You know, as a result of the opening policy of China, particularly lately, you know, there are many people try to develop an interest in, you know, learning about the Chinese herbal medicine. But of course, there are rooms for developing, you know.
Do all the herbal stores in Vancouver know of each other? Which is to say, is there a network connecting every major herbal store?
In general, we have a mutually connective network, you know. We also share our updates, knowledge from every now and then through a regular meeting or assembly and conference, you know.
Do you feel that Vancouver has a strong Chinese medicine community?
I can tell, you know, there are new signs of improving. Why? Because many of customers from the mainstream look for some herbal supplements and look for some herbal knowledge, you know. It is a good sign.
What do you think is the future of the Chinese medicine community in Vancouver?
Oh, I'm sure that as the people are more open-minded, they are more eager to look for alternative medical treatments. I'm sure that Chinese herbal medicines will definitely have a good signs of growth, you know.
In your opinion, what could strengthen the local Chinese medicine community?
I would incline to suggest to do some more educational activities and do some campaign or something like that in order to alert the community of our Chinese medicine, you know.
Can you tell me more about how the local people in Hong Kong and China view Chinese medicine? Is it a common part of their lives?
Oh, yeah. They receive the Chinese herbal medicines as one of their lifestyle, you know, because they think that Chinese herbal has no side effect whatsoever.
Has the public view of traditional Chinese medicine changed over the last 20 years in Vancouver?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My field experience has tend to convince me that there are significant change over the last 20 years. Why? Because many new customers making a herbal inquiry, they are eager to seek some herbal information, you know, updates, you know. So that my understanding that in the near future, many people will look for the Chinese herbal medicine, you know.
How open are local Canadians to traditional Chinese medicine, do you find?
They are quite open-minded, but of course, it takes a certain period of time in order to fully develop their knowledge. But in general, as compared with 20 years ago, it's better now, you know, better. They are more open-minded. They are not so biased to the Chinese medicine, you know.
Is there anything you want to say to our listeners?
Oh, I see. You know, thank you for allowing me to say a few words. Why? Because right now I'm 68 years old, you know. My spice of life to be shared with you as far as possible, you know, try some Chinese herbal medicines as a try and see. And also, one piece of advice for you guys, try to have a regular lifestyle because apart from the food you eat, you know, a healthy lifestyle has also a very significant impact on health as well, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
That was an interview with Raymond Fan, a herbalist and ex-business owner of herbal store Bun Chou Tong. We talked about the Taoist roots of Chinese medicine, his life as a herbalist, and the history of Bun Chou Tong.
Is Bird Note. Dove and pigeon may bring different images to mind. Doves seem elegant, bringers of peace. pigeons, particularly the rowdy flocks of city birds, may seem less appealing. But despite these associations, there is no formal distinction between doves and pigeons, only a linguistic one. The word pigeon came into the English language from French, while dove came from Nordic languages. In many languages, the birds are one and the same, and the family is a lot bigger and more diverse than just the common North American varieties. There are 308 species of doves and pigeons, including some of the most beautiful and colorful birds in the world. The silver and purple Victoria-crowned pigeon of New Guinea is the world's largest, nearly 2.5 feet long. At the small end are several species of ground doves of the American tropics, measuring 6 inches, not much bigger than a sparrow, and ranging from bright cinnamon brown to dark blue. Call them what you like. They are a fabulous group of birds. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you the best for the new year.
Hello, my name is Chris Spangenberg, and you are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, Burnaby Mountain. This is the second interview out of an 8-part episodic series on traditional Chinese medicine, also known as TCM, and the traditional Chinese medicine community here in Vancouver. In the course of these interviews, I examine the local culture and practice of traditional Chinese medicine, as well as inquire into its philosophy and difference from Western medicinal practices. This series is produced for CJSF 90.1 FM's Making Time for Radio project. In this interview, I'm talking with Darcy Carroll, an acupuncturist and clinic owner of Polk Community Acupuncture Clinic on Broadway. She's the local pioneer of the community acupuncture model, initially developed by the Working Class Acupuncture Organization in Portland, Oregon. We first talk about her personal background and how she ended up working with Chinese medicine. Afterwards, we get into her practice and her approach to healing, before we delve into the subject of community acupuncture, her involvement and its philosophy, as well as its difference from regular acupuncture. We end the interview looking at the changes that have taken place in Vancouver over the last 20 years regarding TCM, and we also look at the future of traditional Chinese medicine here in Vancouver. Please note that neither I nor Darcy is bashing Western medicine. In certain instances, we discuss the differences between Chinese medicine and Western medicine, but the illustration is meant to be functional, not ideological. My name is Chris Spangenberg, and you're listening to an interview between me and Darcy Carroll here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
So Darcy, tell me a little about yourself and your history.
I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner, and I'm also a mother and a clinic owner. I run Polk Community Acupuncture on Broadway in Vancouver.
How long have you been practicing as an acupuncturist?
I think I was licensed in 2005, and I did a few locums after graduation and worked as a private practitioner for a couple of years, and then I opened up Polk in 2009.
How did you become an acupuncturist?
I guess what led me to it, I was working in Central America. I'd done a degree in Caribbean Studies and Latin American Studies. And I was working in San Salvador, and I found it to be just a little bit overwhelming, disillusioning. I thought I was going to be working in sort of the more environmental, social justice, international development work, and it just wasn't quite meeting my expectations, I guess. So I came home from that, was a little bit burnt out, and knew I still wanted to help people, but I just didn't know in what capacity. And so I talked to a few of my friends and found out that one of them was doing traditional Chinese medicine, and so I did a little bit of reading up on it, and I just thought it would be a good fit for me, you know, reflected a lot of my beliefs and interests.
What benefits do you feel Chinese medicine holds?
Ooh, this one could take me a long time to answer.
That's okay.
I think many benefits, really. It's a homeostatic way of treating people. It really creates balance in the body. It's even though it sounds invasive with needles, I find it to be quite a gentle approach. Or it can be quite a gentle approach, but really have a deep effect. So I just see a lot of issues resolve themselves with acupuncture.
How did you end up working with traditional Chinese medicine? What got you first interested in the field?
Well, I think like